Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center. innovativewellness.center, and use the code Sports Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this. I've been knocking out bums for four decades. Right. Knocking out all bums for 40 years. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So I bring a unique combination to the dance. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan that's stealing the pay-per-views. Oh, did I really accuse you of stealing pay-per-views? Bottom line is, who's buying pay-per-views today? Bottom line is, we have open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, a bit of a slow boxing week, although Jorge Garcia Perez pulled off a bit of an upset with Charles Conwell last night. Of course, Tommy D will be here in a couple of minutes. Of course, Jaron Ennis winning last week, a 147-pound unification bout. But guess what? It doesn't do anything for me, because if you don't beat anybody, you're not nothing. A lot of times, guys are just paper champions, and that's what Jaron Ennis is. Of course, he's from Atlantic City or St. Louis. I think it's St. Louis. Bottom line is Philadelphia. I wouldn't call him a Philadelphia type of fighter, because he's not one of those guys, I think, that gets down in the trenches. At the end of the day, he's a weight bully. That's what he was. He's bigger than the other guys. Of course, straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. A week away from the all-UK battle, Conor Benn, of course, and Chris Eubank. Are they checking these guys for steroids? I mean, both of them. Bottom line is drugs, steroids, say what you want, but the bottom line is there's controversy involved with that. They'll be fighting at 160 pounds. Of course, May the 2nd. Can't wait for it. I was going to Times Square, but I decided I wasn't going to go because guess what, the impeccable one? They wanted $500 a night for a hotel room in New York City. I told them to stick it up their anus. That's what I did. I was like, oh, man, I'd go $500 a night. They wanted $1,200 for three nights in a hotel in Vegas. And I'm not in Vegas, in New York City. And I'm not talking about the Ritz. I'm not talking about like the Carlton, nothing like that. We're talking like the Motel 7, a little better than the Motel 6. I mean, it wasn't much, but they wanted like $400 or $500 a night. I told them, stick it up there, you know what. Bottom line is, I'm not going to New York City for that card. Of course, that's May the 2nd. May the 3rd, Canelo's getting some skull. When I say skull, I don't mean some sexual thing. I mean a William skull. Of course, William skull is going to be the opponent. That's going to go down in Saudi Arabia. And then May the 4th, the monster, Nonoa Noa, going to do his thing, I think, against a guy named Valenzuela. That's going to be in Las Vegas. I expect to be there. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, CRN. I keep going, but the bottom line is, we got a split. Coming up after the break, we'll talk boxing on Sports Byline.
Have you heard? Kohl's has two exclusive new home brands, Mariana and Mingle & Co., from luxe favorites that are all about turning your space into a sanctuary to fun mix-and-match dining essentials. There's so much to discover, and trust me, you're gonna love everything. Plus, you can get an extra 15% off throughout the store and earn Kohl's cash. So hurry to Kohl's today and bring it home for less. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends April 19th. See store or kohls.com for details.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
3 weeks after the interview I did, that was my national television debut with George Foreman, right? 3 weeks after the interview, I told the San Francisco Police Department to stick the job up there. You know what? Bottom line is I walked away. People said to me, you don't walk away from the police department like you don't walk away from KMBR. I walked away from both. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, wow, I want to mention the fact that April 19, 1952, a great day in the world of boxing, no doubt about that. Alexis Arguello, the explosive thin man, born in Managua, Nicaragua. Of course, he died July 1st, 2009. The cause of his death was a gunshot, but I don't think it was self-inflicted. I mean, the press and some of the media down there and maybe some of the government entities tried to imply that he had killed himself, but I didn't believe so. I talked to him about 3 weeks before, and he was in good spirits. He was telling me to come back to Managua, blah, 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 blah. We talked about the stripper. We talked about it was a stripper thing, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But Jose Correa is in the studio. My buddies from going back all the way to 1960s. Oh, man. Well, wait. Anyway, he wanted me to talk about Alexis Arguello, so I'm going to bring up Alexis first. Alexis Arguello, when he had the fight with Aaron Pryor, of course, we talked about it beforehand. He got me together before that first Golden Glove Championship win. Why did I say that? Why do I say that? Is that I didn't have it. I lost the first Golden Glove Championship fight. They had a couple points taken away from me, so I lost this championship, and I was a little upset and a little, I mean, I was like, jinx. I mean, why they took away 2 points? Anyway, so I was lined up to fight again in about 2 months, and they said to me, you're going to fight for the championship again. I said, okay, but you got to beat a couple of guys. All right, sorry. Anyway, so I meet Alexis before at the prior press conference before the first fight, of course, and he and I talk, and he says, in 1982, and he says to me, I said to him, how do I know if I'm mentally ready for a fight? He says, well, you'll know if you get yourself physically together. If you do everything you can physically, the mental conditioning will fall in line. I said, cool, all right. So he was right, because I went out there, and of course, when I was fighting Keith Rucker, everybody said to me, poor guy. You're fighting Keith Rucker. Keith Rucker was 6'2", 139 pounds. He was a hitman. He was knocking out everybody. Yeah, 12 seconds into the fight, I almost spit on his ass when he was sitting there on the canvas, right? Broke some bones in his face. He was never fought again. Bottom line is, I was motivated that night. There was no way in the world they're going to take that championship away from me the second time, okay? That's sort of the way Arguello went into the prior fight. He was motivated beyond belief, okay? And what they did to him was, first of all, you know, everybody talks about the special bottle and the mix and all that kind of good stuff. And that played a role, but that was a stimulant, no doubt about that. But here's how they cheated. Panama Lewis wrapped wrapped Aaron Pryor's hands the first time around. When he wrapped him with regular bandage, all right? Then he wrapped him with plaster of Paris. You know that stuff that you make casts out of? Then he wrapped that around his hands. Then he wrapped some regular padding all around the hands again. So then when the inspectors came and looked at the gloves, yeah, everything's perfect. They're nice and soft, the whole nine yards. The wraps look perfect, right? As soon as the inspectors left, Panama sprayed water on the wraps, and they turned into casts. I mean, they were a cast, like getting hit from a cast, a plaster of Paris cast. So they did that. And wait, they weren't done cheating. Then they took the padding out of the gloves. They went into the bathroom. They took the gloves off. They went into the bathroom and took the padding out of the gloves, much like they did 6 months later when they were caught, of course, in New York City with Luis Resto. They were in the corner of Luis Resto. And Luis Resto did all the same things I'm telling you that Pryor did to Arguello. He did the same thing to Billy Collins. Of course, Billy Collins was retired after that with an eye injury. His eye was permanently injured. But the bottom line is, that was Panama Lewis. So Alexis Arguello was screwed that night, and he never, ever truly recovered. He didn't. I mean, we had the crack epidemic with him. Of course, that was in 1991. He cleaned up his act New Year's Eve 2000 when the Nicaraguan police pulled him over, and he was drunk, and he got into a car accident, this and that. He wasn't drunk. He was loaded. And they said to him, either you go to rehab or you go to jail. But, you know, I'll go to rehab. And he went to rehab. He cleaned himself up. He never stopped smoking cigarettes, so he quit drinking. He never stopped smoking cigarettes. In fact, he smoked cigarettes every day of his life when he was boxing. He smoked cigarettes. I kid you not. He cracked me up one time. We were together in upstate New York, and he had a couple drinks, this and that. I had to walk him back to his room and tell him, you know, you're acting a fool tonight, this and that. So we had a our relationship lasted about 10 or 15 years, of course, when he was boxing, when he wasn't boxing. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, he was a broken man. He was broken mentally. He was broken physically. But most important, he was broken emotionally, because he did it all. He got himself together for that first prior fight. He did more than 100%. He was mentally, he was physically ready, and they cheated him. I mean, they cheated him. When I asked him what it was like to get hit by Pryor, he said it was getting hit with bricks. And then I realized, you know, about the plaster of Paris, that came on later. I didn't realize the plaster of Paris was in play until about 6 or 8 months later with the Luis Resto fight. So I had no idea what he was talking about. But Arguello was telling me it was like getting hit with bricks, and I couldn't figure it out because, you know, he never got busted up in a fight before or after that. Guy had almost 100 fights. He never got busted up before or after that. Why? Because they cheated their ass off. So may Panama Lewis, of course, Panama Lewis and I almost hooked it up there. That was at the Buster Mathis Jr. Mike Tyson fight in Philadelphia. Of course, that was the day I stepped into a puddle with my $200 shoes. But the bottom line is, that was the bad part of the day. The good part of the day was Panama Lewis got bold with me. He said that because I wrote something bad about him, you know, in my byline. Of course, I had the national byline at that point in time. So I went after Panama Lewis. I said she'd be banned from boxing. And somehow they were allowing him to work this Tyson fight with Buster Mathis. I think this was in 1996 in Philadelphia. And he came up to me like, boom, I pushed his head. Oh, man, we was ready to go. So Don King stepped in. He says, Pedro, don't fight for free. Something like that. Yeah, come on, what are you talking about? Bottom line is, I was going to slap Panama Lewis. Are you ready to go, Tommy D? So we take it from my storytelling for Jose Correa in the house. We go to the Bronx. They're bringing the Bronx Bomber. No, not the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about Tommy D. What's up, Mr. Dillamuth?
What's going on, Pedro?
I'm stuttering and stammering. You know, same old story.
Is it because you're nervous because Panama Lewis was about to beat you up? Or
No, I'm nervous because I got you on the line. I haven't figured out whether you're the Tommy D with or without the private jets.
Definitely without.
Without the private jets, okay. Well, I know you're not a flying guy anyway. Bottom line is, Mr. Cornwell was upset last night, huh?
Yeah, that was a big upset last night.
Conwell,
yeah, big upset last night. I thought it was a close fight. I thought it was a draw. I watched it this morning. But still, you know, it's not the Conwell we used to see, and I like Conwell a lot. I think he's a force to be reckoned with, but I think he just had a bad night, probably unprepared, smothered his punches a lot in that fight, you know, and just got outworked.
You know, but wait, how did he get outworked by a 13-1 underdog?
The guy was throwing a lot of punches. He didn't land a lot. I mean, he landed, but I think he got credit for his work and for his punch output. And then I think Conwell didn't get enough credit for his defense.
Don't give nobody credit for defense, man. This is not the NFL. This is boxing.
That's part of the scoring criteria.
Yeah, all right, let me go through the scoring criteria. Clean and effective punches, effective aggressiveness, ring generalship, that means who's really kicking ass, and what's the fourth one? Defense, okay? But it's sort of like defense. Yeah, you know, I mean, I admire guys who are defensive wizards. I think Roberto Duran was probably one of the greatest defensive fighters of all time. Alexis couldn't get out of the way of a punch sometimes.
Yeah, and it happens. You know, I just think, like, in certain spots, like last night, you know, when fighters have off nights, usually you see them, you know, get rewarded with a draw or, like, a close.
You wanted to be political. That's what you're trying. You're asking for a political ending instead of a righteous ending.
You know what? I am. But to be fair and not to be biased, because I like Conwell, you know what? He had an off night and,
Do you want me to do it?
I thought it was a draw. And you know what? Perez deserves the victory. If he got the victory, I think he deserved it. I'm not taking anything away from him. He came to fight and he looked good, especially, you know, he came out early in the rounds. I thought Conwell hurt himself. You know,
I got news for you. When you come in a 13-win favorite and you establish and you try to impose your will and you do impose your will, that's saying something. You hear what I'm saying? Because you're not. I mean, yeah. At 13-1, his chances were slim and none, and Slim was out of town.
And for whatever reason, it came for that fight. And credit to Perez, he did some good things in that fight. The output, he landed some good punches to the body and upstairs. You know, Conwell smothered his punches a lot. He hurt him to the body a few times, but he kind of went away from it like late in the fight, which, you know, the corner was trying to tell him to do, you know, but he didn't make any excuses from what I heard. I mean, he took the loss and, you know, it's unfortunate guys like him, you know, it's been a while for him to get these title shots. He's not a big name guy. Like,
man,
a lot of guys.
You know what? You know what, Tommy D? It sounds like you're his publicist.
I'm trying.
You're his PR. If you're his PR guy, and I know you're Puerto Rican, that kind of stuff. You're his PR guy, but the bottom line is, he lost.
He did. He lost. Okay. And you know what? Back to the drawing board.
Oh yeah. Wishing the best of luck on that one. Sergey Kovalev, of course, the guy that Andre Ward sort of had a controversial fight with the first time around, but he stopped in the second time around. Evidently, he's retired. He's had his last fight. Good riddance.
Good riddance for He's a troubled man. I think he's abusive. They don't talk about him.
Yeah, I know. I know that. I know they don't talk about him. One time he popped off. I think we were in Dubai. No. Poland. We were in Poland. And he popped off in Poland, this and that. And I saw some big old dude look at him like, MF, you know what I'm saying? So I told him, I say to myself, this is about to go. And Sergey Kovalev was about to get lit up by this big old dude. This dude was huge. I mean, he was Daniel Dubois size and a white dude in Poland. And what's the capital of Poland? Warsaw? Helsinki? Warsaw? Was it Warsaw?
Something like that, yeah. Warsaw.
No, Hungary. I can't remember right now. Bottom line is all that. Hey, Siri, what's the capital of Hungary? Siri's not even answering. Hey, I'm getting dogged when Siri won't answer me. Let's go to a break a little bit early. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, CRN. I keep going and going, but the bottom line is one and only. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 22, make that 23 minutes past the hour. Hour number one of two, live today on Sports Byline and iHeartRadio.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, I might go down in history as being the highest publicized fight in the history of the fight game. The most talked about. The most, I would say, probably controversial, the most loved, the most hated.
I was trying to figure out the capital of Hungary there, and of course, my man Frank 1961 sent it to me. Of course, it was Budapest. Of course, Budapest, that was in the president, Janos Adler. The Secret Service was following me around the United States. I had no idea. Show you how slick I am. I'm probably blowing weed in the car the whole night. Good thing I had tinted windows, but the bottom line is the Secret Service followed me around for 4 days. I found out later when I got to Hungary that they followed me around for 4 days because they knew I was going to introduce a president down there, President Janos Adler at the time. Of course, that was for the World Boxing Organization convention. I think it was about 2012, 2013. But the bottom line is, that shows you how hip I am, being a private investigator, thinking I'm cool, this and then I'm driving all around Northern California, and the Secret Service is following me, and I had no idea. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Before we go to the name game, I want to bring this up to you. Julio Cesar Chavez is going to fight Jake Paul, or Jake Paul is going to have a date with Julio Cesar Chavez. The last time I saw Chavez, he was in rehab.
He was in rehab? So is that a good thing?
No, it isn't. No. He's a piece of work, man. Let me tell you, one time we were together in San Jose, California. I think he was fighting on the undercard. That was when Victor Ortiz was fighting that night as well. Of course, that was the night that Victor told me maybe boxing isn't for me. So anyway, Chavez is going to fight, and he has his fight, and I do the television afterwards for Don King. And I noticed he don't even shave. I mean, so I said to him, do you shave? Oh, I don't even shave. He wasn't even shaving, okay? So I went to another fight that he had down there at the L.A. Forum because, you know, Chavez was hot. The name was hot. That's right, right? So anyway, we go down to the L.A. Forum, and I go to interview him pre-fight in the dressing room, and they tell me I can't go in there. I said, wait, hold on. This is Pedro. What are you talking about? What are you doing? Flashbulb? Wait, time out. No. And they're like waving their hands like, no. It's like they're, you don't want it. No. What the? So anyway, it turns out he's having sex in the shower. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is banging some girl in the shower. That's why they didn't want me to go in there. Because he was banging some girl in the shower. So I don't know if that's props to him or not, but the bottom line is he's a piece of work. And if anybody, listen, I don't want to see anybody get hurt in the boxing ring, but I wouldn't cry if he got hurt. I just would. Would you?
No, I wouldn't cry if he got hurt, especially coming up. Do you think he gets hurt in this fight against Jake Paul?
I don't know, but the bottom line is there ain't enough cocaine to satisfy him, man. There just isn't. I mean, his father admitted it. His father snorted a lot of cocaine. His father said, you know, I was snorting cocaine for like 3 or 4 days at a time, 5 days at a time, hiding out in my house in a room, this and that. He goes, so I know what it's all about. And his father, of course, launched a successful rehab program. J.C. Chavez Sr. has a rehab program of some hospitals down there in Mexico for drug rehab. But the bottom line is he couldn't get his son clean.
Nah, it's sad, you know, but I mean, he tried to live up to the name and couldn't. He only had one bright moment, in my opinion, and that was in the loss to Sergio Martinez. That last round versus Sergio Martinez was probably his best moment of his entire career, and he lost. So,
okay, am I supposed to be impressed with Boots Ennis from last week?
I think you should for a little bit. I think you know, it's just unfortunate that the welterweight division is kind of weak. Like,
No. What does he bring to the dance? I mean, come on, man. Isn't he a bit of a weight bully? Isn't one of those guys that's 147, but he's coming in at 67?
But I think that term gets used a lot, weight bully. I mean, if you can make the weight, then what's the problem? I think he was fighting on the
IBF. You know what? The problem is you're not fighting him. you're not fighting them. That's the problem, man. Because if you were, you'd be, believe me, when I fought Ernie Chavez in 84 National Golden Gloves, I thought to myself, you know, I won these championships at 139 at junior welterweight. I could step up to welterweight and win a division, another title, right? So I went down to the Valley and beat up a bunch of slobs in the Valley, Fresno, Bakersfield, Modesto, that kind of good stuff, all a bunch of farm guys down there. And I qualified for the Nationals. So I went to the Nationals, and Ernie Chavez and I both weighed in on Tuesday at 140. He weighed 147, and he was sweating to make it. And then I weighed 142. Anyway, bottom line is we fought like 4 days later. He was 167 pounds. He hit me so hard. When I hit the ground, I didn't know what it was. I was saying to myself, my ear hurts. My ear hurts. I couldn't figure out why my ear was hurting, because that was what landed on the ground, my ear. So in the meantime, my captain and my police captain, Greg Corrales, is ringside going, get up, get up. I said, what's he talking about getting up? Anyway, that's the hardest I've ever been hit. That's why I decided I wasn't going to do any more fighting at 147. I had to go back down to junior welterweight. I sweated myself down to 147, to 139. But the bottom line is, weight, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But if there's a, you know, weight you got to make, the other fighter is trying to make the weight at the same time. And he was fighting under IBF rules for a while. Now, last week wasn't, because it was a unification, so that went out the
window. No, but he was still the IBF champion. Why did he stick to the rules?
Because I guess in unification, I think they throw that out the window.
Oh, because he was looking to pimp the rule. That's why.
But it's a unification, though, and you should get credit for trying to unify all the titles.
Okay.
We have too many titles.
You got a point. You know, Orlando Canizales holds a record, I think, for the most bantamweight title offenses, like 17. He was the IBF bantamweight champion from like 88 on to like 92, something like that. Bottom line is, he doesn't get any props because he didn't fight anybody in unification matches. He gets no props whatsoever. So statistically, he's the best bantamweight ever, but he isn't really. Feel me?
No, I definitely get that. Yeah, I think that should be the goal. If you're campaigning at a weight class and you're staying at that weight class, the goal should be to be the ultimate champion, the undisputed champion.
Okay, I got good news for you, and I got a fight for you coming up, man. Guess who?
Who?
Shannon Briggs.
Oh, man, 56?
53. Don't worry. Listen, he's coming back July the 1st. Of course, the former heavyweight champion of the world, Shannon, the Cannon Briggs. What a dog he was. I'll never forget when he was hanging out at the Jewish Community Center in New Jersey, this and that. He was swimming with all the Jews, and the Jews didn't want to get in the pool after the black guy was in the pool.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
No, wait. It was like they wanted to sanitize the water or something like that. Cause they were freaking out. I mean, because this big black guy, he was like 19, 20 years old. I can't remember what his manager was. Mark something. Anyway, bottom line is, he's swimming in the Jewish Community Center. And he tells me, I go, so Shannon, what's swimming like? He goes, nobody swims with me. He goes, I got the whole pool to myself. Once I get there, everybody gets out. And he wasn't smart enough to realize they were getting out because of him. You know what I'm saying? He goes, yeah, everybody just gets out. Anyway, of course, he's a clown if there ever was one. And of course, who did they give him the big win against he didn't get? Was it Morrison?
I think it was Morrison. I think, did he beat Tommy Morrison? I'm not sure.
But what was Shannon Briggs, what was his claim to fame?
Oh, that he has the most first-round knockouts.
Who did he knock out, me and you?
Yeah, I have no comment. But yeah, he has the most first round knockouts. I think that's his big claim to fame. And he was he's the last U.S. champion. I think heavyweight champion. I could be wrong about that. But if he's not the last one, he might be second to last one.
I mean, do you really call? I mean, you know, it's pretty cold. You want to call him champion? Guess what? They're getting down in Japan. I'm talking about unbeaten world bantamweight champions. Junto Nakatani, 20-30 and zip. Of course, I think he's really a good fighter. Of course, he's going to take on the IBF ruler, Ryoshio Nishida, 10-0 with two knockouts. Rashida's going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. Listen, they should arrest Nakatani for fighting this guy. They should arrest him. Domestic abuse. If they were gay, it'd be domestic abuse. It would. That's not. I mean, I see the guy with his IBF belt. This now, he's going to get killed.
He is. I think they're setting it up for the Nakatani fight.
Setting it up? Good Lord, man. Setting up with a death fight? A death match?
Nakatani's pretty solid, I think. But
No. I'm talking about Ryoshita Nishida. Nice guy, 10-0, two KOs. Those two KOs mean he's going to get drilled.
Yeah, this is a showcase fight, I believe. Is this fight in Saudi Arabia, I think, or is it in Vegas?
I thought they were going to do this in Japan. No, wait. Yeah, it's going to be Tokyo, June the 8th.
So what's
up, Tommy D? Fire up the private jet. Come pick me up in Frisco. We'll go. No blow. We can do some weed on the plane, but no blow. I'm not into that kind of stuff. We have a good time, man. Bring the private jet. Tell the old lady, listen, man, I need a week with Pedro. So we can go to Asia for a week. And I'll take you to Thailand, to Malaysia, all the places married men don't want to go.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're going to play the name game after the break, all right?
All right, you got it.
Are you ready? Are you ready with some good names? Here's what's up. You only get one pass. We get one pass each. We'll play the name game for a few minutes. We'll play one name. That means, like, I say a name, and Tommy D tells me something, and Tommy D says his name, and I say something. The bottom line is we try to insult people as much as we can on this show, so that's why we play the name game. Bottom line is we open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. I'm still waiting for the Nakatani big fight. Of course, that's going to go down with Noah Noy. And Noah Noy is going to fight this guy, Valenzuela, on the 4th of May in Las Vegas. I say the Mexican has no chance. Absolutely none.
Yeah, I don't think he has any chance at all.
I mean, slim and none. We use the slim and none move, but slim ain't even in the country. Not even in the same time zone. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Approaching 37 minutes past the hour. Hour number one of two, live on Sports Byline. The impeccable one, Bailey Peck, is in the house. My great producer, Bailey, take it away. The computer's lagging, okay? So the computer's lagging, so I got to keep talking. I mean, can you tell me when the computer's ready. Is it ready? Go. No, it's not ready yet. Okay, you want me to do the ABCs for a while or something like that? Anyway, folks, no. Tommy D, you're laughing? I can't believe Tommy D's even laughing at me. I'm getting laughed at by my co-host. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
My mother said it's not bragging when you're telling the truth. Of course, I was on the way to a press conference one night, and I just kicked the snot out of some guy. She said to me, you know what? You don't need to beat him up again. I said, what do you mean? She goes, don't go in there talking smack about it. I said, come on, Mom. I'm the fighter, Mom. She goes, I understand that. But the bottom line is you already beat him up once. Listen, I've been on the other side. What do you mean the other side? You know, when you've lost, it ain't easy. So the bottom line is you got to be cool when you go to the press conference. Treat the guy really good. Admire him. Say nice things about him the whole nine yards, something I never did before. But the bottom line is Mom was right. And of course, she's always right. Straight up, Mom, may you rest in peace. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Hour number one of two today on Sports Byline. Of course, now we go do the name game with Sir Thomas Dillamuth. Of course, the Sunday Shot caller from the Bronx. Tommy, you go first.
All right, I go Joe Cortez.
Joe Cortez, probably a decent referee, a guy that's got a bit of an ego. Of course, he blew it with the first Ruiz Holyfield fight. Had he judged that, had he been correct in that fight, not ruled the fight the low blow by Holyfield, it was a legitimate body blow, we'd have never, ever got to see Norman Stoney Stone, his trainer. I'm talking about John Ruiz's trainer or John Ruiz again. Of course, John Ruiz, you know what he's most famous for? And since it took you so long there, man, are you on heroin or something today or something on heroin today or what? Bottom line is, are you?
Losing to Roy Jones Jr. I mean...
No. John Ruiz is most famous for me calling him out at fight. Says, Johnny Louise! Johnny Louise! And he stand up and he waved to the crowd, Johnny Louise! Yeah, Johnny Louise, not Johnny Ruiz, Johnny Louise. What a puss. I've never, hey, listen, he was Puerto Rican. I was ashamed of him.
Yeah, he wasn't your typical Puerto Rican fighter. Let's put it that way.
He was a puss, man. I don't know where some Puerto Rican from Massachusetts, something like that. Bottom line is, yeah. All right, go ahead. You got another name? You want to go with another name?
Michael Spinks.
Michael Spinks, former light heavyweight champion of the world, of course, at one point in time, challenged Mike Tyson for the heavyweight title, beat Larry Holmes on a very controversial decision. I was there in Las Vegas, of course. Hey, here's something about the Larry Holmes Michael Spinks fight in Vegas. I go down to the last minute. I fly down to Vegas to the last minute, and I go to my travel agent. She says to me, there ain't no rooms down there. There ain't no rooms. There ain't nothing. She goes, well, I got you a package at this hotel. And it was called, like, the Farallones Hotel or something like that, right? So I go to the Farallones Hotel, and there's Stone Cold Sissy checks me in. When I say a Stone Cold Sissy, the guy's wearing flowers in his hair. It's a gay hotel. It's an all-gay hotel, and I'm coming from San Francisco. So this ain't looking good for me. This ain't looking good. My image is shot. Okay, I'm telling you, I guess these guys are looking at me like I'm a cupcake, and they're about to eat me up. I kid you not. All right. So the bottom line is all these. Hey, look who's here. He's over here. It was like I couldn't believe it. So anyway, I checked out the next morning at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, I ran downstairs. Didn't say anything. Checked out. Bottom line is, was the only time I stayed in the gay hotel. Did I feel threatened? No, but I felt weird.
You didn't feel insecure walking out of it? Anybody seeing you?
No. I was worried about cameras. You know, when I went to China that time, they had cameras. I found a camera, and I found a microphone in the room. When I went to Beijing, China for the first time with Muhammad Ali in 1993, I checked the room being a former cop, and I found two bugs.
Oh, wow.
And you know what I did with them both?
What?
I poured soda on them.
Poured soda?
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah, that's
I obviously those bugs shorted out, but the bottom of I found a camera, a pin camera in the TV set that was pointed straight at the bed, and I found a microphone near the lamp.
In your hotel room?
In my hotel room.
Wow.
They wanted to catch me doing my own thing, I guess. I don't know. Bottom line is, it was the Chinese government. It was the first time they ever had Americans come over for that. It was the first sporting event ever in the People's Republic of China, first boxing event since 1949. So Mao Zedong cut out boxing, of course, when he brought in the communist regime in 1949. It was the first boxing card ever. And I got to tell you, that whole Chinese experience, when I go back and I look at it, I got paid a lot of money to go. And, of course, the fact that I got to accompany Muhammad Ali the second time, that was sort of cool. The third time we went, we were in Macau. We did a fight in Macau. Only 400 people showed up, and then they caused a riot. There was a big riot going on. So you know what I did? I told you about the story when the riot broke out. I told you what I did, right, Tommy D?
You saved the didn't you save the ring girls?
I took the ring car girls. I went back to the hotel. Yeah. You damn right. Yeah. No, and I tried stopping that fight with the microphone. I tried stopping the riot with the microphone. That wasn't working because I wasn't speaking Chinese. So it wasn't working. Yeah. They were throwing. What happened was they had a fixed fight. I didn't know. They didn't tell me. Obviously, they told me. I would have said, I don't have no problem. Anyway, they had a fixed fight because they had this Chinese kung fu guy, that kung fu master, big scary Chinese dude. His name was Kung Fung or something like that. Anyway, bottom line, he sounded like a Chinese dish, not a fighter. Anyway, so they tell me I get there 3 weeks early. I'm going to train this guy for 3 weeks. So I said to him, okay, so I haven't met him yet. So I'm going to meet him at breakfast. So I go downstairs to the buffet in this hotel, the New Century Hotel, I think, in Beijing. And I go downstairs to the buffet to meet him. And he's got 32 strips of bacon on his plate. Wait, hold on. I'm training this dude. He's going to fight in three or four weeks, and he's got 32 strips of bacon on his plate and a big piece of cake, this kind of stuff. Bam! I took the cake. I took his plate away. We had a big old confrontation back then, right then and there. So anyway, he decides he's going to do what I'm going to say for a couple of days. He did it for 2 days. Finally, he didn't adhere to my training regimen. So I told him to go stick it up as you know what, and I told Harold Smith the same thing, the promoter. I still got my money for training him, and of course, then he went off, and they had this fixed fight, fight, Tommy D. I didn't know that the other guy, I didn't know it was fixed, because when I looked in the ring, I said, you know, that looks like one of the trainers. You know what I'm saying? So the guy's going to fight one of the trainers, and he's wearing a t-shirt. Why is this guy wearing a t-shirt? What's going on? So anyway, the guy went in there and took a wrestling dive. You know those wrestling bump dives?
Yeah.
And the crowd got hip to it, and they started throwing stuff. That's why I had to split with the chicks.
Oh, man. Good job. Chivalry is not dead. With Pedro Fernandez.
No, chivalry, no. I open the door for ladies, and I let ladies walk. You know, yeah. I do. I open the door for ladies.
And you let them walk right out, and you was right behind them.
Yeah, bottom line is, you know how it is. Anyway, name game one more time. How about Teddy Atlas?
Teddy Atlas, a showman trainer, always in the corners of fights. You know, I forgot which one he was. You know, he'd take the cell phone, and he's like the
Michael
wife.
Michael Moore. Here's a good one with him. After the 2004 Olympics, I think it was. Is that when? Jermaine Taylor and those guys, I think it was a 2004 class, we had a big luncheon in Manhattan. Lou Diavolo threw this big luncheon, of course, and we had the press conference in Madison Square Garden. So Teddy Atlas got in my face, boom, pushed his ass right off. I said, man, I ain't one of your punk-ass guys from New York. You ain't going to pull that, you know, one on me, right? He backed off because I was ready to scar him up some more.
Wow.
I'd have messed Teddy up, man, and he knew it. Okay, Teddy with his big old gut. He never talked no smack after that. Every time, in fact, when I see Teddy, he don't look me eye to eye. He's one of those guys, he looks the other way. So he's a big tough guy, Teddy Atlas. He ain't.
Wow. Okay. I never would have pictured that. Well, you I didn't know you was that much intimidating.
I ain't afraid to get in anybody's face.
No, I know that.
I'm not. You know where I stand? Listen, no matter what age I am, I'm in good shape. I work my ass off to stay in good shape. If anyone pops off, like that dude that popped off at La Tapatia, I told you about that. It was like a month ago. Jose, check this out. I pull into the parking space in front of La Tapatia in South City, right? And some guy's trying to save the parking space. Some big old Mexican dude. So anyway, I told him, honk the horn, move him out of the way, this and that. So he comes up and sucker punches me through the window. Right? Whoa. So I turned the car off. Should have took the keys with me. Turned the car off, this and that. Got out the car and beat his ass. going to beat. And here's what's up. These big guys can't, they can't accept the fact that this young guy, the small guy, the small guy's kicking their ass, 150-pound guy's kicking their ass. They can't vision it. You know what I'm saying? Because they're 225, 230 pounds, and they're 30 years younger than me. So they can't vision it. It doesn't come into their mind. So when I beat him up the first time in like 8 seconds, he said to himself, he collected himself after a couple minutes ago, I want round two. He came back, he got it again. I'm saying, but the bottom line is, no, they can't believe it. That's what it blows their mind. It just does. Anyway, I hated to go off on a rant there. Sorry about that.
No, that was good. That's all right.
All right. Anyway, let's go name game. One more. Let's go.
I got we'll go overseas. Carl Froch.
Carl Froch was okay. Of course, Carl Froch was a 168-pound champion at one point in time, and he was a good European star, but I never thought he made it over here.
No, he didn't, and I thought he was good. If there was no Andre Ward, Carl Froch might have been a superstar. He only had two losses, and he avenged one of them, Mikhail Klassen.
You know, Ward is the son of God. You know that, right? SOG, the son of God, right?
Son of God.
You know what he told? You know what he told Michael Kessler on the scale? Get the buck out of my face. I said, buck. Get the buck out of my face. That's what I mean. I never heard of him. That was the hottest I ever saw Andre Ward. The hottest I ever saw him. I watched a lot of his fights, man. Of course, he's a Bay Area product, born in San Francisco, says he's from Oakland, much like Devin Haney. I don't know what's up with those guys, man. They don't want to associate themselves with the city by the bay, San Francisco.
Well, two things. One, Andre Ward was the underdog going into that Kessler fight because Kessler was the favorite to win that Super Six. So that's very interesting. And he made Kessler quit or. Did he stop him? Is something with an eye injury or something? But he stopped Kessler, I think, in that fight as well. So that was good. And the second thing, they don't claim the bait because they've heard the stories of what happens to you so many times.
Wait, were you talking about Mikhail Kessler? Here's Kessler. We got Kessler right here. Ah, the computer's not working again. Let me tell you. That's the second time the computers didn't go off in this hour. And it's not the impeccable one's fault. It's the computer's fault. So I want you to take that thing and throw it in the street. See that? We went to music instead. And we're having a bad day here in the studio. Can you tell we're back to the music again? The Average White Band, of course, one of my favorite bands. Jose's watching The Impeccable in the other room. He's going crazy. The bottom line is everything's going off. Everything that's going wrong is going wrong right now. But the bottom line is I'm still with you. The listeners are still here, hopefully. Bottom line, of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Hour number one of two, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and like 1,000 other platforms. Of course, this is your inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Although I hate Dana White. Everybody knows that. I hate Dana White. In fact, if Dana White, let me tell you, if you run into Dana White, make sure you do it with a truck.
But yeah. that's well said.
Not a car, a truck.
Yeah, he seems to be all over. He was watching WrestleMania last night, front row there. Turkey was there as well in Vegas.
You know what? I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I don't give a spit, okay? If Dana White didn't breathe after tomorrow, I wouldn't feel sorry for him. As far as this Saudi Arabian pimp trying to take over the sport of boxing, I wouldn't feel sorry if he left the planet either. I'm sorry, man. I know I sound like a real negative guy this and that, but I think those guys are both negative impacts on boxing. What they want to do is they want to eventually pay boxers $5 million when they're worth $50.
Yeah, and that's why they're doing this TKO league, which I'm not sure how they're going to be, but they're going to underpay these guys. They're going to bring these guys.
Well, here's what's up. This in the past few weeks, me and Mills Lane were a big broadcast team. Me, Mills Lane, and Al Bernstein had the Let's Get It On boxing series back in the early part of the century. Of course, Mills Lane suffered a stroke. Mills Lane, Judge Mills Lane, of course, the district attorney up there in Washoe County, and of course, the referee for Tyson Holyfield. So anyway, when he and I and Al had the series running, it was called Let's Get It On Boxing. We were going to different casinos and different venues around the country and making money. Okay, we're making money. And then Mills, I take it back. So CBS sends me a contract, and it was only for $1,500 a show. Man, I was getting like $2,000-$3,000. What kind of, you want me to step up to CBS for $1,500? So anyway, my agent, Martin Mandel, says to me, Pedro, sign the contract. I don't want more money. No, sign the contract, Pete. He goes, the first contract is theirs. Every contract after that is yours. We can tell them, we can call the shots after that. But let's get in the door first. I say, okay. So I signed the contract. And anyway, I'm thinking CBS is going to do this one night a month. Of course, they did the MMA with kickboxing, that kind of stuff. They're going to do one night a month of boxing, right? Me, Mills, and Al Bernstein. So about 3 weeks later, Mills Lane had a stroke. And that was the end of that because Mills Lane was the attractive part of that thing. I mean, nobody wanted me and Al. They wanted Al Mills Lane. All right, let's get it on. Okay? And obviously, Mills Lane had that stroke. And of course, he died a couple of years ago. He was my broadcast partner. He was a wonderful man. And he goes, he's one of those guys that believes you should walk around at your fighting weight. He weighed 145 pounds when he was running with me.
Wow.
I'm serious. He goes, I'm still at fighting weight. I said, yeah, but you're a welterweight, man. You're a small welterweight. He would have been a tiny welterweight, like a junior lightweight now. Of course, according to the size factor, the fact that you can weigh, 24 hours before a fight or 36 hours before a fight. Bottom line is, time to wrap things up with Tommy D. Tommy D., have a good week. How's Tamara doing?
Tamara's doing great. Everybody's doing great, So, no comments. She'll be here next month. Finals is coming up, so.
Okay, so you won't fly me out of there. You won't take me to Japan in that private jet, huh?
I'll think about it. I got to work on it. And then I got to get the pass too. And now after what you said earlier on, I don't know. Taking me to all these different spots, I don't know if my wife is going to give me that pass.
We'll take her too.
We won't have fun.
Okay. You're trying to say your wife's a slouch? Is that what you're trying to say? Oh, man. Hey, Mrs. Thomas still in the mood. I didn't say it. He did. Straight up, Tommy D. Have a good week.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Okay, did you hear the dog barking? I don't know what that was all about, but the bottom line is it ain't me. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Johnny Tapia came up the this week, of course, Johnny Tappy, the babyface assassin out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good guy, no doubt about that. But, you know, he had his issues as far as personality was concerned. And I told you about the that time when he told me what the F or that kind of stuff, doing a fight interview after a fight in El Paso, Texas. So may Johnny rest in peace. But the bottom line is Johnny was a disturbed guy, no doubt about that, from birth until the end. Of course, he told me the only mistress he ever had in his life, because he was married to Teresa Tapia, and he wouldn't take any action when girls threw it at him. But the only mistress he ever had in his life, of course, that was cocaine. Straight up, this is hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We are in the Put It in the Bank. Hour number two coming up after the Sports Byline News, 6 minutes past the hour. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I have studios in the I have guests in the studio, and I'll get into them in hour number two. And, of course, Brent Carter will be here in hour number two as well. Of course, the lead singer of the Commodores, formerly with Tower Power and AWB, Mr. Boxing himself, Brent Carter, in hour number two. Now, the impeccable one, can you take it away? Can you take us to the news smoothly? That's right, Bailey Peck. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk.
Sports Shorts, I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Despite Anthony Davis dropping 40 points in the play-in tournament game for the Mavericks, they still come up short against the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies win 120-106. An overtime thriller for the Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat. Heat heat up to a big win over the Hawks, 123-114. Miami now moves on to play the number one seeded Cavaliers, and the Grizzlies face off against the OKC Thunder. A big slate in Major League Baseball action. Cubs and Diamondbacks have a dramatic game. Cubs come out on top with the at-home W, winning 13-11. Guardians win over the Pirates 10-7. Tigers take it 7-3 over the Royals. Phillies win 7-2 over the Marlins. Yankees take it over the Rays 1-0. Orioles lose to the Reds. Reds W 8-3. Blue Jays win against the Mariners at home 3-1. Red Sox and the White Sox. The Red Sox come out on top 10-3. Mets win over the Cardinals 5-4. The Braves get a win over the Twins 6-4. Dodgers with a W over the Rangers 3-0. Brewers against the Athletics. Brewers take it 5-3. Astros an at-home W win against the Padres 6-4, and the Angels win against the Giants 2-0. Looking forward to action on the ice as the NHL playoffs begin. To stay up to date on all things sports, and for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram, and visit our website, sportsovernightamerica.com. That's your Sports Shorts, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. The second seasons are just underway for the NBA and NHL, so let's hand out the report cards for each, and we'll start on the hardwood, and time permits us to only talk about the teachers' pets and those staying back a year. So here we go. A-grade teams. Oklahoma City, an NBA best 68-14 is impressive enough, but the fact that the Thunder were fourth in the league in manpower games lost to injuries, suspensions, or personal reasons makes their 8-29 win percentage even more amazing. Cleveland, the beast in the East, and I witnessed live their comeback from 25-3 down in Boston to win comfortably. Detroit, countless sub-30 win percentage seasons to a 6th seed this year is a great story. Houston, what a rebuild in the 2020s. 59 wins in 3 seasons to start the decade to 93 wins the last 2 seasons in their first playoff berth since 2020. The Clippers, with the departure of Paul George and fragile health of Kawhi Leonard, still finish within 1 win of last season. That's a huge victory. The Lakers, left for dead, were the beneficiaries of a bad trade and shored up the defense. Huge winners. F-grade teams. Dallas, whose president committed managerial malpractice by trading a generational player and showing no return on that move? Oof. Denver. Seems odd to give a 50-win team an invitation to summer school, but pink-slipping your coach and GM just 3 games before the end of the regular season is insane, even if warranted. Philadelphia. Nick Nurse inherited a 54-win team 2 seasons ago. It has to be more than just an injury bug. In Phoenix, an NBA best 64-18 just 3 seasons ago, they are the Boston Bruins of the NBA. And speaking of hockey, our NHL report cards come out in a few days. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best? What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour number 2 of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Hello, once again, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer and 4-time Golden Glove champion. So bottom line is, I talk a lot of smack. We've got open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, we don't do the texting here because I was doing the texting for a while and somebody sent me some ugly pictures, so I'm not giving out my phone number as far as texting is concerned because those pictures they sent me were vile. I just put it, they were vile. And if that's your mother or your sister or something like that, you should be ashamed sending pictures or out like that. I kid you not. All right, let's get serious. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Looks like there's a big fight card coming up in July. Shakur Stevenson, not my favorite guy.
Shakur talks like this. You know, hi, I'm Shakur Stevenson, and I'm the WBC lightweight champion. Yeah, I sound like a girl.
You fight like a girl sometimes. Bottom line is he had some hand problems. Of course, he looked good in his last fight, but this fight he's taking on William Cepeda. Cepeda can fight a little bit. Can Cepeda fight enough to beat Stevenson? Probably not. On the same card, Edgar Berlanga. Remember him, the Puerto Rican guy that took that dive with Canelo Alvarez about last year? Remember that? He went in there talking all kinds of smack. He had a 30-pound weight advantage. He went in at 160, he weighed 195 pounds in the ring, and he didn't even try to hit Canelo. Canelo knocked him down the fourth round. The fight was sort of over at that point in time. He never tried. So he should be arrested for impersonating a fighter. I'm talking about Edgar Berlanga. Now Edgar Berlanga is going to take on Hamza Shiraz. Who cares? Bottom line is Edgar Berlanga should be arrested for impersonating a Puerto Rican sissy. Straight up, that's going to take place in July, probably at the Garden in Madison Square Garden. Ben Whitaker. Is Ben Whitaker for real? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Of course, also spend some time this hour with the lead singer of the Commodores. Who are the Commodores? Well, if you've heard of Three Times a Lady, Easy, I can go on and on. Brick House, of course, they had all kinds of hits over the years. Bottom line is they were Motown stars at the original at the beginning. But now, Motown has sort of went different ways as far as the Commodores are concerned, but the Commodores lead singer, Brent Carter, Mr. Boxing himself, will be here. I call him Mr. Carter's kid, but he'll be here in hour number two of Ring Talk Live worldwide as well. Of course, open phone line once more around the planet as I stutter and stammer, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. The impeccable one, take it away. Is the computer working? Play the music.
Listen up, Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. So let's do it again and get vaccinated. We're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults under 50. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com to schedule. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about a legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer. So thank you so much for giving me that kind of idea as well.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I get dead? Why do you want somebody, do you think somebody really wants to think about you? What's the audacity? I think, I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone? Well, my kids maybe, or grandkids.
Yeah, true.
Cares?
And again, thank you so much for sharing that.
Average White Man bringing us back from the break. Bottom line is, you know, Mike Tyson was a bit of an asshole there, wasn't he? Of course, 14-year-old Jazlyn Jazzy Guerra was the interviewer. Of course, that was on Jazzy's World TV. Give her the best. She's got it going on jazzysworld.tv, I think, or tv.com. But the bottom line is, she asked Mike Tyson some pretty legitimate questions. And, of course, he went off on, like, a 13- or 14-year-old girl because he's a piece of work. And I keep trying to tell Jose Correa's in the interview in the studio, and I told him there were only two guys that I sort of was tender with. When I say tender, I mean I didn't have to ask direct questions with, and that was Marvin Hagler, because I really respected Marvin, and Mike Tyson, because I was afraid he would smack me. Okay, that's why I didn't mouth off with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson would have kicked my ass. I'm telling you, he would have. Just to make a point, he would have. Let's talk about the big weekend coming up, of course, in May 2nd, 2025, of course, Friday night, 7:00 p.m. Eastern time. Live from Times Square, it'll be Ryan Garcia. Of course, Ryan Garcia is the guy that annihilated Devin Haney about a year ago. Of course, Devin Haney said that he wanted to sue Ryan Garcia, that Ryan Garcia took chemicals and took steroids, all that kind of good stuff. Listen, man, steroids don't have nothing to do with the fact you can't take a punch, and you can't punch. You can't punch, you can't take a punch. Therefore, what value does Devin Haney have as a professional fighter? None, except for the fact his father's a good cheerleader. Outside of his father and a couple of black guys, he has no fan base. Speaking of Devin Haney, besides the Ryan Garcia, Raleigh Romero, that's going to be the main event. Of course, Raleigh Romero brings a good mouth to the fight, to the dance. But outside of fighting Ryan Garcia, probably going to get lit up and stop within four or five rounds. Devin Haney, I'll say Ramirez, that's going to be a battle, I think, at 147 pounds. They tried to make this at 140, but Devin said he can't make 140 anymore. Bottom line is, Devin Haney is a punk. He tried to get YouTube to take his tape of him getting lit up. Of course, he got knocked down in four times by Ryan Garcia in the seventh round. Of course, in the seventh round, Harvey Dock was the referee. Now, Harvey Dock is black, right? And so is Devin Haney, right? And you know what Bernard Hopkins said after the fight? That Harvey Dock did the brother a solid. What is he trying to say? That the referee was biased towards the black guy. Does it happen all the time? It happens enough. But the bottom line is, Devin Haney is a piece of work. Of course, he went to court. He said he was going to sue him and this and that, but he got the decision changed to a no decision. So even though he was knocked down seven times in a fight, he's undefeated. Try to figure that one out. Bottom line is, question about Devin Haney taking on Jose Ramirez. Also on the same card, a guy that he was on the show a couple times in the past. At one point in time, pound for pound, he was one of the greatest fighters at the time. We thought he was the next Rage. I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez. Tio, what happened? He lost to George Kambosos. Kambosos couldn't win the Golden Gloves here if you gave him lead in each glove. I mean, he just couldn't do it. Kambosos couldn't fight much. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, of course, Teofimo Lopez lost to George Kambosos, who lost twice to Devin Haney. We can go on and on. But the bottom line is, Tio coming back against Arnold Barbosa in a WBO fight, 140 pounds. I give Tio the edge here, but Barbosa is going to come to fight, no doubt about that. Of course, now, on May 3rd, the following day, from Saudi Arabia, Saul Canelo Alvarez is going to get some skull. When I say skull in the show, I don't mean some oral copulation, but this is an oral copulation type of fight, because William Skull is just that, a blowjob for Canelo Alvarez. That's all it's going to be. He's going to blow right past him. Of course, talk about the main event, May the 3rd in Saudi Arabia. Goes off at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time as far as the pay-per-view is concerned. Now, if you're going to buy this, you're a nut, because the undercard stinks. Martin Bacoli, remember him? He was 315 pounds about a month and a half ago when he lost, who was it? Daniel Dubois. Got lit up by Daniel Dubois at the last minute. At the last minute, he got on a plane in Africa. He was on vacation in Africa, overweighing over 300 pounds, gets on a plane and goes and takes a fight for 750 grand. He sold his soul for 750 grand. So I don't think he should ever get a big fight again. But Martin Bacoli, at one point in time, I thought he had the chance to become heavyweight champion of the world. I don't think that anymore. He's taking on some bum by the name of Efa Ajaga. I think guy's from from Samoa. Of course, also on the card, the rematch, Jaime Munguia. A guy that beat a lot of, I mean, if ever there was a guy that fought out of Tijuana and fought nothing but Tijuana cab drivers, it was Jaime Munguia. I mean, he fought Tijuana cab drivers and Taco Avengers. Stop making all that noise over there, please. And Bruno Saras was going to be his opponent. Of course, Bruno Saras, the guy that beat Jaime Munguia in a fight about a month and a half ago. And, of course, Budu Jackson will be on the card as well, taking on Noel Makalane. Bottom line is, that is the big weekend of boxing. Of course, Friday, Saturday, what about it? How about Sunday? I'm talking about the big fight, of course, in Las Vegas. Of course, the man, the no Inouye, the undefeated champion. We'll see 23-0 now, of course, like 19 knockouts. Of course, the 122-pound champion, former champion of 118, former champion of 115. He has a chance to become the greatest Japanese fighter of all time, but the only guy standing in his way is Junto Nakatani. I talked about that in hour number one. Of course, Nakatani, 30-0 with 20-plus knockouts. Bottom line is, this is the super fight of Japan. In fact, I would love to go over there. In fact, if you've never been to Japan, you want to go over there for a fight, that's the best time to go, is go over to a fight, because the Japanese fans are very, they're supportive of boxing, but they don't say nothing. You can sit in the cheap seat, and they can hear you in at the front row, because they don't say anything. When Mike Tyson was getting knocked out by Buster Douglas, they were sitting there with their hands on their hands. They weren't doing that. They didn't say anything. So, anyway, the Japanese fans are not all that hip when it comes to boxing, but they sit there and they enjoy it. They just don't say anything. Anyway, it's going to get it on as far as the big fight's concerned. Junto Nakatani and No Inouye, that's probably going to go off next year. People were talking this week, of course, about the April 15th anniversary. Of course, April 15th, 1985, so Marvin Hagler and Tommy Hearns. Of course, Tommy Hearns, that was the night that Marvin turned Tommy, the hitman, into the hurt man. Of course, that was, you know, within three rounds. But then again, Tommy broke his hand early in the fight and things like that. Of course, it only lasted three rounds. One of the greatest three-round fights of all time in the minds of a lot of people. I was there sitting ringside. I was, like, blown away by it. Marvin Hagler blew me away. In fact, Marvin Hagler blew me away, and I'll roll with this. Of course, we're going to go to a break early. But Marvin Hagler lost to Ray Leonard. And Jose Correa's in the house, and Jose says to me, you know, I think that Marvin Hagler beat Ray Leonard. Let me tell you how I explained this to Ray Leonard, how I explained this to Marvin Hagler. And I had to do it very eloquently, okay, because you don't get blunt with Marvin. Right? I said, Marv, he gave away four of the first five rounds. I go, all Ray had to do was steal three rounds down the stretch to win the fight 7-5. And he could rationalize with that. You know what I'm saying? He's, okay. So he was okay with that. So I didn't go any heavier with that, because what I should have said was, man, bottom line is you lost that fight easily, 7-5. I know it was, the scores weren't wide or anything like that, but you lost five, because that one judge, the Mexican judge, Jojo Guerra, had a 118-110 for Ray Leonard, meaning 10-2 in rounds for Ray Leonard. Of course, Jojo was on the take, I think, no doubt about that. Ray must have been giving him some Colombian dust. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Why in the world would anybody put chains on me? I paid my dues.
That is Mr. Carter's kid, a.k.a. Brent Carter, of course, with Tower of Power back in the 90s, the average white band for 14 years, and now the new lead singer of the Commodores. My brother, Mr. Carter's kid, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? I was trying to look for a pen. I'm trying to write down 1-800-BUY-BLUE.
Don't start with that. I don't advocate for any of the stuff they sponsor on this show. I really don't. So how's life treating you? What's it like to be a Commodore now?
Man, it is absolutely awesome. I mean, at my age, to have a dream come true, you know, that just doesn't happen. And, you know, when I got in Tower Power, you know, you think, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. Then I got the gig with Average White Band. Now, I know you're from the Bay Area where Tower Power is huge, but in New York, Average White Band is, you know, they rule. So, but...
Well,
the Commodores.
Brent, bringing up Average White Band, you had a concert with him, Tower of Power and Average White Band out here in 1998 or something like that at the Fillmore Auditorium, and AWB kicked you guys' ass.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I thought they did.
In
fact, Emilio told me that afterwards. In fact, the reason why I brought that up is Emilio told me afterwards, I thought they played a better show than we did.
You know what? Sometimes... It's according to the crowd, because AWB, you know, they will come out and kick some backside. And we always tried to, you know, I always put a little extra something when we were on the shows with Tower Power. But, I mean, I'm an Average White Band fan, so, you know, I love AWB. But I love both bands, though.
But think about this, though. You know, I mean, you went to school. I mean, you studied acting. You studied music. There's no doubt about that. You had the background, of course. Yeah. Then you do the thing with Tower of Power. And there's this guy with dreadlocks wearing like overalls. So it looks like he's wearing dreadlocks and overalls down there in San Jose, California. And they're telling me there was a little white guy. Well, time out. You replaced this little white guy. There was a little tiny white guy singing lead for Tower of Power. So I'm expecting to see Tom Bowes. And this big brother comes out on stage instead with these dreads.
Yeah. Tommy Bowles is my guy, too. And we're actually in a band together right now in New York. We're in the Funk Philharmonic together. So I'm actually a big fan of Tom Bowles and a big friend of Tom Bowles. So anyway. But I'll tell you.
Go on. I'm sorry.
But one thing. Ex-singers of Tower. One of the highlights of my career and my life was you bringing Lenny Williams to the show and meeting him and, you know, becoming like a buddy of Lenny Williams, because he's not only an ex-singer of Tower Power, but he's a legend. And I'm a huge fan of his.
Yeah, well, he ain't returned. I wished him a happy Easter. He hasn't returned my call. You know, his wife, her name is Debbie. And she always tells me, call me Debbie. And I said, okay, Mrs. Williams. And there was a sort I give her the same treatment I gave Aretha. I told you what Aretha told me, right? The two times I introduced Aretha Franklin in Detroit. The first time I introduced her, she said to me, my name is Aretha. I said, I know who you are. I was freaking out, shaking. And then the second time, she goes, Pedro, make sure you call me Aretha. I said, okay, Miss Franklin. I mean,
right.
Who's that extra?
The way we're raised, you know, if I walk up to her with my mother there and I said, hey, Aretha, I'd get popped in the head to this day. So I don't call grown folk by their first name. Yeah, no, we don't do that.
No doubt about that. Now, when you think of, was Tyson the most impressive heavyweight in your time?
was Mike Tyson the most impressive? I can't say that. No.
Okay. Who stands out for you?
I would have to say Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, when he fought, you know, when I was a kid, I was like 13. I wanted him to retire, and he fought Foreman, and he beat Foreman. And people, you know, you look back, you know, hindsight is 20/20. But at the time, he was supposed to get killed. Wasn't any way in the world he was supposed to last past 3 or 4 rounds in that fight. George Foreman was unbeatable at that point. After he beat him, now you can look at it and say, yeah, Jimmy Young beat him after that. But no, at the time, he beat the most unbeatable boxer. He knocked out Joe Frazier. Come on, man. And nobody knocked Joe Frazier down, much less knocked him out, you know, and knocked out Kenny Norton. I mean, he was knocking dudes out. I mean, he was, and people didn't give George Foreman credit for being the boxer that he was and the jab that he had and the defense that he had. You know, they just said he was a puncher. No, he knew what he was doing out there. See, so, the most impressive boxer to me was
Ali.
Is Ali.
Okay, let me tell you Ali's story. We're flying to China for the second trip. I think it's in 1994. And I'm flying in first class, and he's up there. He's got his own bed up there in some special cabin in the front of the plane, right? So he comes back, and he says to me, see, I'm with this beautiful girl named Song Hong. Her name was Susan Wong. I'll never forget that. She was United Airlines stewardess. We were flying Singapore Airlines or something like that. So anyway, he says to me, he goes, you're supposed to be protecting me. I said, yeah. He goes, well, come up here. So he grabbed all your stuff. So I grabbed all my stuff. I went up to the front of the plane, and the pilot's door was right there. This was before 9/11, 1994. So anyway, the pilot's door is right there, and he sits me in a bed. He says, lay down in this bed. This bed's yours. So I said, okay. So I'm laying down in bed. About after a half hour, I can't go to sleep, man. Muhammad Ali's right here. You know what I'm saying? Come on. You got to be kidding me. He's right here. His wife's here. A couple other people are there in the room. There's like 6 or 7 beds in this room, and I'm with one of them. So I got bored, and I said to myself, let me open this door. So I opened the door to the pilots, and all three pilots were asleep. All three of these Chinese dudes were asleep. It was Air China. All three dudes were asleep, right? So I'm freaking out. I didn't know what to do. I said, I made some noise like that. None of them moved. I said to myself, are they dead? What's going on? Is there something going to go on here? So I went back and woke up Muhammad Ali's wife, Lani Ali, and she thought it was my imagination. She goes, Pedro, are you imagining things? I said, I ain't imagining nothing. I said, the plane's on automatic pilot. These guys are asleep. She goes, no, they aren't. So anyway, I took her up to the front of the plane. She realized they were all asleep. She put her hand on my shoulder. She goes, you might have saved Muhammad's life. That's what she said to me. So we went back. So they went back and got an alternative. They had two flight crews on the same plane, but both flight crews were sleeping.
Wow.
And then we get to Hong Kong. Yeah, we get to Hong Kong, and they say to us, you're going to have to fly a helicopter. Well, I'm in charge of security. I'm not putting Muhammad Ali in no helicopter. You got to be out of your mind. I said, I lost Bill Graham, who was the rock promoter here in the Bay Area, and, of course, Mark Edis, who was Donald Trump's right hand.
Who just average white man. Discovered Tower Power.
Say that again?
Bill Graham.
Bill Graham discovered a lot of people. Bill Graham discovered a lot of people. But he went down in the helicopter, as did Mark Edis, Donald Trump's boxing attorney, with my good friend. He went down in the helicopter as well. So you don't mess around with helicopters. So I'm not going to put Muhammad Ali up in a helicopter 1 year after Bill Graham and Mark Edis went down. I'm not going to do it. So I get into this big fight, almost a physical fight at the airport there, the terminal out there, and he's not getting on the plane. And I told Lonnie, and you're not getting on that, or he's getting on that, he's not getting over my dead body. That's finally what it boiled down to. I mean, we were screaming, right? So anyway, the guy says, well, it's $1,500. I said, stick the $1,500 up your ass. I don't care. I'm not putting him on a helicopter. So he goes, look, right. we need to get the $1,500 back, Pete. I said, oh, man. I said, oh, what do you want? He goes, well, figure out some type of hustle. So I looked at the guy, I said to myself, Mr. Lee was his name, right? So I said, Mr. Lee, come here. I said, you see this Mr. Lee sign, Mr. Lee's tours, right? I'm going to have Muhammad Ali come over here and take a picture next to your sign. You and him take a picture shaking hands. I said, that's worth a lot of money. You let me slide in the $1,200. And he did.
There you go. Well, you're a hustler.
You know, I had to get it done. So I had Ali on this helicoil when these things that roll about 4 or 5 feet above the water. It's like a little boat on the way over to McAllister. I said, look, I saved your ass twice. You saved Cosell once in Caracas, Venezuela. Coward told me about that, but I saved your ass twice.
There you go. Who can say that they saved Ali twice? You know what's funny? When you asked me that question, who was the best fighter? But I was just thinking, who the most underrated fighter of my time?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to ask you, who do you think is the most underrated fighter since, you know, of our collective boxing experience?
I think the guy that doesn't get the recognition that he should get is Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. I think those are the two greatest fighters of my era.
Oh, but I think that they get the recognition. You know who I don't think gets the recognition? Oh. A guy who I bet against every time, and I lost every time.
Tommy Hearns.
Michael Spinks.
Michael Spinks. we brought him up an hour in the morning. You know, when he fought Mike Tyson, you know what they called that fight? Once and for all. You know what I called it? Once and I'll fall. What?
Come on, though. But fair, he was a light heavyweight.
No, I get that. But here's what's up. Butch Lewis was his manager and his promoter, right? So Butch used to drink a lot. I used to smoke weed around Butch and listen to what Butch had to say. So anyway, Butch is talking all kinds of smack. But Butch went over to Mike Tyson's dressing room to watch Mike Tyson's hands get wrapped for the Spinks fight, right? So Mike Tyson gets his hands wrapped, and then he punches a hole in the wall. Mike Tyson punched a hole in the wall. You could see the outside. So that's what Butch Lewis had to go back and tell Michael Spinks. I said, did you go back and tell him that? He goes, hell no.
Well, I mean, but, you know, he was such an awkward, I mean, but do you remember when he fought Eddie Mustafa Muhammad?
Yep. He unified the titles.
You thought he was going to lose that fight, didn't you?
I don't know if I thought he was going to lose that fight, but Eddie Gregory, born Eddie Gregory, turned Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, head of the boxing union at one point in time. He was a good fighter.
Right, and you thought he was going to lose to Dwight Braxton?
No, I could have beat Braxton.
Nobody thought he was going to that he was going to beat Braxton. Nobody thought, because he was so awkward and skinny, and he beat the hell out of that light heavyweight division, and he moved up. Unlike people that I'm fighting on Facebook with now, unlike everyone they say is the greatest, you know. Marvin Hagler, who was a great fighter, great middleweight, but never stepped up to face a light heavyweight.
Never stepped up and never stepped down. I mean, the bottom line is Marvin. I tried to bring this up in hour number one. Marvin called his own shots, even if they were detrimental to his career. He called it his way.
I respect that. I definitely respect that. But you know, I'm fighting a lot of his greatest wins were over welterweights.
All of his greatest wins were against guys who were either 147 or 154. In fact, John Mugabe, you know, see, he had mental flaws. Let me tell you about the mental flaws of Marvin Hagler. Maybe you can understand this. He had to outbox Ray Leonard. He couldn't outslug him. He couldn't knock him out. He had to outbox him. When he fought Mugabe, he had to outbeast the beast. You know what I'm saying? He had to punch him. And then, you know, when Marvin fought the Beast, and they stopped that fight, I guess, about the 11th or 12th round. I can't remember exactly what round it was stopped in, but that was a fight before the Leonard fight. Marvin said, and I was standing there next to the ring, he goes, have I lost it? That's what he said to Petronelli. Have I lost it? Because he knew. And Ray knew right then and there that the time was right to fight Marvin Hagler.
I think Ray fought Hagler because Duran took Hagler to the
15 rounds.
Yes, and after he saw that Duran took him, that's when Ray decided to do it. Because Ray is probably my all-time favorite fighter, but again, he never fought McCallum. He never fought...
McCallum's the only guy everybody ducked, bro. I'm sorry. He's the only guy everybody ducked.
The other welterweight champion at the time. Donald Curry. Never fought Donald Curry.
Donald Curry was gay, and he couldn't fight.
But he didn't. He still wouldn't fight him.
Hey, well, you know, I wasn't too worried about Donald Curry.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Donald Curry was a fighter. Donald Curry would go in there and fight every time. He never ducked anybody. He took all the smoke. He never talked a lot of crap.
Good point. He knocked out Milton McCrory in front of me in less than one round or two rounds. Straight up.
Milton McCrory either.
All right. You have a great week, my brother. Much good love with the Commodores, and I thank you so much for your time.
I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
The great Brent Carter, lead singer of the Commodores. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out collection letters, garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it even harder to get out of debt. Don't let tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in taxpayer assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Let them fight on your behalf, helping to put your tax problems to rest. Call the tax professionals at Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
This is one of my favorite songs from the Average White Band. It's like When the Girl Walks Away from You, just one last look over your shoulder, that kind of good stuff. You know, the sad song type. But bottom line is I love it, and I play it in the car all the time. Of course, I still have a CD player. Nobody else has a CD player anymore. They got all these modern stuff, this and that. I got a CD player. In fact, you know what? I think my car is primed to getting stolen because I had some kids looking at it the other day going, those are some nice. I said, nice what? He goes, that's a nice car. I said, that's a piece of crap. What are you talking about? He goes, it's easy to steal. I went, oh, okay. In fact, you know, when I had a Kia one time, some kid told me he could steal my Kia in 10 minutes. I said, really? You can steal my Kia in 10 minutes? Bottom line is I don't have a Kia anymore. Oleg Usyk, world heavyweight champion, 23-0, 14 KOs. No future opponent for him. He's ranked number one as far as the pound-for-pound list is concerned. Number two, Nonoa Inoue, 23-0. Of course, the Japanese monster at 122 pounds. Going to take on Valenzuela. That's going to go down May the 4th in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. Number three guy, pound-for-pound, Terrence Crawford, is going to take on Canelo Alvarez. After Canelo gets some skull May the 3rd, he's going to take on Canelo. It's going to be in September. That'll be in Saudi Arabia. Number four is Dmitry Bivol, the world light heavyweight champion who beat Artur Beterbiev. Of course, I'm not a big Beterbiev fan. I'm just not. I'm not a big Bivol fan. I think they're both like some limited. I just don't get off on Russian fighters. I'm sorry, I just don't do it. You can't. There's something about Russian fighters that just doesn't make it with me. Bottom line is, Artur Beterbiev is ranked number 5 as far as a pound-for-pound rating is concerned. Number 6, Saul Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez. Call him what you want, but he's a punk ass if there ever was one. I mean, come on. Talk about a Mexican sissy. Pound for pound, biggest Mexican sissy in the entire world. He was supposed to fight David Benavidez for 3.5 years. The guy was ranked number 1. How can you be ranked number 1 and then you say, I'm not going to fight him? Well, you can't if you're a punk. And that's what Canelo Alvarez is. And guess what? The Mexican boxing fans, oh, they're all up to this. They're like, they are to Canelo Alvarez what a hemorrhoid is to a regular person. I kid you not. They're so far up as Astor or Polyp. They just are. And I try to tell these people, man, what has he done for you lately? What has Canelo done lately? I mean, the Berlanga fight, come on, that stunk. That did. The Jaime Munguia fight, let me tell you, I thought that was a bit of a fix. You know why I say that? How can you say that? They both made millions of bucks, right? But Jaime Munguia, afterwards, Canelo Alvarez bought him a $125,000 car. Have you ever heard of that before? Ever heard of that kicking somebody's ass and buying him a $125,000 car afterwards? Come on, man. That reeks of a bit of a reek. Beat a Bev, number five. Number six, Alvarez, of course, going to take on the William Skull. When I say Skull, I have no respect for William Skull. Skull's undefeated. He said to me a couple of weeks ago on a conference call that, you know, he's being disrespected and this and that. I said, well, you know, you want some respect, go out there and beat Saul Alvarez's ass. Until then, you don't get any. Number six, Jesse Bam Bam Rodriguez, the 115-pound champion, of course, moving up to 118 eventually. Of course, he's a champion of the WBC. He was a flyweight champion. Now he's a super flyweight champion. He's a guy that I think they eventually will hook up with Nanoa Noi if he survives Junto Nakatani next year. Of course, that'll be in probably in a year or two. That'll be in Japan. But Rodriguez, Jesse Bam Rodriguez, probably the most exciting fighter right now in boxing. Number eight, the aforementioned Junto Nakatani, 30-0, of course, 20-something knockouts. The Japanese champion, 118 pounds, going to take on the other Japanese champion, going to light him up like a White House Christmas tree. Number nine, pound for pound, my guy who's number one pound for pound on my list, and who's that? David Benavidez, the monster. That's right, the aforementioned monster. Listen, he has destroyed everybody that's put in front of him, and people laugh, saying, oh, you know what? He really hasn't beaten too many guys. He's 30-0, 24 KOs. David Morrell went the distance when the last time I was there, because that was in February of this year. Of course, then before that, he beat that Oleg Generic. That was for the WBC light heavyweight title. Before that, he beat Demetrius Andrade. Nobody wanted to fight Andrade. In fact, Andrade was 32 and zip. Nobody wanted to fight that clown because he was such a difficult guy to fight. But he beat him, and he beat him over a 2-round decision. Of course, before that, he beat Caleb Plant, David Lemieux. I mean, I can go on and on, but the bottom line is he's beat everybody that's been put in front of him. He is a monster. He is the best fighter pound for pound in all of boxing, yet he is the most ignored guy. And Canelo ignored him. In fact, the WBC, you know what the WB stands for? We be Canelo. I mean, that's what it has to be. Or the world of Bunko and Chicanery, one or the other, because the bottom line is 3.5 years. I mean, and Benavidez didn't take this the right way. You know why? I would have went down to Canelo's house. I would have, put a mobile home in front of his house and called him a punk and played loud music in the middle of the night. I would have got under his ass like Muhammad Ali got under Sonny Liston's ass when he came into that, of course, in Denver, Colorado, when Sonny was living in Denver. Ali showed up, or then Cassius Clay showed up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a bus. He had a bus in front of Sonny Liston's house, honking the horn, making all kinds of noise. Sonny came out and chased him around. Bottom line is, that's the way fights are made. Sonny Liston wanted to fight Cassius Clay at that point in time because Cassius had embarrassed him. You embarrass somebody, you push them into fighting, okay? Bottom line is, I don't think you can do anything to embarrass Canelo Alvarez. You can call him a punk, you can call him a sissy, you can call him an agate, you can call him what you want. Bottom line is, he ain't going to roll over. He ain't. He's got the WBC, the World Boxing Council, talk about we be Canelo. Of course, that's what I'm kidding you. Mauricio Sulaiman said, he's going to have to fight David Benavidez. He's going to have to. Well, they never mandated that. They never forced that. And then Canelo said about 4 or 5 months ago, you know, I fight who I want to fight. You know what, man? If they told me that, I was in the Golden Gloves, they told me, guess what? This guy ain't going to fight you. Say, what? He's a champion. He's not gonna fight you. What? How does that figure? It doesn't. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Joe Frazier in 1971 saying, "Hey, I'm not gonna fight Muhammad Ali." Same thing with Canelo. What's the difference? Absolutely no difference whatsoever, except for the fact that we live in 2025 and that boxing is about to be aborted. I think it's boxing is about to become an aborted fetus. And when I say that. Fetus. And when I say that, the reason why I say that is that the Arabs are involved, the Saudi Arabians are involved, that Turkey guy, whatever it was, that clown with the turban and all that kind of good stuff, man. Well, listen, I'm not down on Saudi Arabians, but I'm down on him, okay? And then you got that other asshole, Dana White. I mean, come on, Dana White should be arrested for impersonating a white guy. He just does. I mean, he's not even a good white guy sometimes. He acts like a fool. I mean, talks about boxing. He said, oh, you know, we all have CTE. That's what he said. He said that. I was in a press conference. He said, we all have CTE. I said, come again? We all have it. We all say, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. We all have it. What are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, I sparred in the gym in Boston. No, man. Whitey Bulger ran your sissy ass out of Boston. You know Whitey Bulger was? Whitey Bulger was the head of the Irish mob in Boston, okay? Whitey Bulger's people went to Dana White, and Dana was right, was running some boxing gym in West Boston. And he said to him, listen, you're going to have to pay us some, like, $200 a week protection money or something like that. And Dana White says, I don't have $25 a week or something like that. So anyway, Dana, being the big, bad dude that he is, the tough dude that he was, got on a plane. I take that back. He drove out of town. He left. He drove to Vegas. He met the Fertitta brothers. The Fertitta brothers owned these station casinos back then, and then back then, of course, in the 80s and the 90s. And, of course, they ended up buying the UFC for, like, I think they paid like $1.5 million for it, and they sold it for $4.2 billion. So let me tell you what $1 billion is, because some people just don't know. $1 billion is 1,000 million. So the UFC sold for $4,200 million. I mean, think about that. The UFC, of course, and I'm not big on the UFC, and the reason why I'm not big on it, because I think it's nothing, it promotes nothing but brain damage. I mean, let me tell you, if I can hit you standing up and you're standing up as a boxer, your head's going to go backwards a little bit. But if I hit you when you're on the ground, your head ain't going nowhere. Only thing that's going to absorb that punch is your brain, okay? So when you allow people to ground and pound, of course, Jake Stritchard, the famous cut man now from Las Vegas, he and I are on the same page on this one. You can't hit a guy when he was down because he's too susceptible. Ken Norton Jr., of course, the former football coach, the son of Ken Norton, the aforementioned Ken Norton, the former WBC World Heavyweight Champion, had that great fight with Larry Holmes back in 1978. Of course, he told me personally, in fact, we got it on tape here, that, you know, the hits of guys taking football, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. And when I was talking earlier about, with Jose, about high school football, you know, there were guys I went to high school football with, and I wondered why they were effed up later in life. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, come on, these guys were white, they were bright, you know what I'm saying? They had money. Their parents were well-connected, the whole nine yards, and they ended up screwed up, and I couldn't figure it out. And it wasn't chemical use. It wasn't chemicals. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't chemicals. It was a football. The fact that Ray DeYoung, this coach we had, this coach, I didn't say the word, anyway, but he used to put these guys in, they get their bell rung. He says, be a man. Be a man. They would give them smelling salts and put them back in. And I used to watch this. I'd be the reporter for the South City Warrior newspaper, and I was watching this stuff, and I knew something was wrong with this, man. Something's wrong. You can't be sending guys there. All out of it, back into the game, but that's what they did. And that's how football became the centerpiece for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Ken Norton talks about it. Ken Norton Jr. talks about it. I talk about it. Not too many people want to talk about it. You can't get anybody. Dana White says, we all got CT. Listen, Dana, I'm sorry those guys didn't get you back in Boston. If Whitey Bulger would have got you, I'd be a happy man because you wouldn't be involved in boxing or MMA or anything like that. Speaking of Whitey Bulger, you know Larry Merchant is, right? The retired HBO godfather, 94 years old, my mentor. He, of course, he got back from last week. He went to Hawaii last week to scatter his wife's ashes, Patricia Stitch Merchant. She died a fortnight ago, so they scattered her ashes in the Hawaiian waters off of Maui. So then he comes back, and he's going to have to get a molar operation this week. He's 94 years old. He's going to get a molar. He's going to have a tooth taken out. That's going to be hell for him. So I'm going to go down and see him next week. But I'm going to tell you, man, this guy is so together for 94 years old. I'm telling everybody out there, and I implore you to get somebody that's old and hang around with somebody that's older than you, that's even much older than you if you can. You will learn from these people. If they've done it the right way, if they weren't lucky, I'm talking about some guys just get lucky. You know, they can drink, they can smoke the whole night, all throughout their life, and nothing ever happens to them. But some people, they plan on it. You know, Dale Carnegie, when I took that Dale Carnegie course back in the 70s, he who fails to plan is planning to fail. Well, that comes to your health and getting old as well. If you don't plan on getting old, you can't get old right. I know it because, you know, it's funny. I'm going to get off subject a little bit here. My landlord is younger than me by 10 years. And he walks around like he's all stiff and bent over this thing. So you know what I told him? I said, listen, Neil. I said, you got to start taking hot baths and start stretching in the bathtub. And he goes, no, I only take showers. And you see? I mean, what an idiot. He won't even take a bath to improve his health. You know what I'm saying? But he's willing to take a shower. People won't make changes. They won't make changes in their life and their diet and this and that. I've got a friend of mine that weighs, I'm going off on a rant here, a friend of mine that weighs almost 300 pounds. I beg him. He's the longest, I mean, I've known him longer than anybody else, okay? Almost 60 years, all right? And he's like vastly overweight and he tells me he's healthy. I mean, listen, the hardest thing in the world is to get somebody to eat right. It's easier to get somebody off crack than it is to get them to eat right. It is. I mean, it is from the bottom of my heart. I mean, I begged him. I brought him sauna blankets. I brought him this. I brought him that. I mean, he gave him all these different tools in order. He won't lay down in a sauna blanket once a day. Am I going on a rant? All right. You can lay down in a sauna blanket and lose like 600 to 900 calories laying down in this little blanket. It's like a sleeping bag. You put it on, wrap it around you. It's infrared. It ain't that hot, but you sweat, okay? So you sweat off 600 to 900 calories. He won't do that. I mean, I can't get this fat ass to lay down in a bed and lose weight. So what I'm trying to tell you is that some people, health is just not paramount to them. Some people it is. But I learned hanging out with old people when I was young. I asked old people questions. I remember the first boxer I ever met was Frankie Click. He was a world junior welterweight champion in the 1930s. I met him on Cortland Avenue. He was a drunk laying in the street. Right? So he would talk. My grandfather used to say to me, my uncle and my father used to say to me, you see that? That's what happens when you get hit too much. I said, okay. But that wasn't the case. Because when Frankie was sober, he could run off dates, times, the whole nine yards. He was like a statistician. I kid you not. But there was the alcohol. The alcohol made him dummy, made him a rummy, okay? But the bottom line was booze. It wasn't boxing at that point in time. So Frankie Lick, but that was my first introduction to boxing, no doubt about that. I remember what they said to me, if you fight, you'll end up being like him. So I didn't want to get hit for a while. And of course, then was the first time I got hit, that wasn't too much fun. And then after that, I sort of got used to it. You get used to getting hit. I know that sounds funny, but you do. You get used to getting hit. You don't get used to getting clocked, because you only get clocked four or five times maybe in your life. I only been clocked four times, I think. Four times where I said, whoa. I remember that one time I got up. Jose, I got up against Ernie Chavez there in Las Vegas, the National Golden Gloves. And the referee says to me, are you okay? And I'm looking across the ring, and there's eight Ernie Chavez's. Not one guy. There's eight of them standing there. Eight different guys, right? And I look back at the referee, and the referee is three of them. So there's 11 guys in the ring with me. And there's only supposed to be two. Me and the other two guys, the referee, no. But so I said, the referee says, have you had enough? I said, definitely. No more. I want no more. Bottom line, let's go to a break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Enough of my storytelling. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328.
That's 800-293-0328.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's macho time.
I miss him, the Harlem Heckler. That's what I named him, Hector Camacho, the Harlem Heckler. I thought he would get pissed off at the nickname, Jose. He loved it. He loved it, okay? Another guy, Juan Lascano, I called him the Hispanic causing panic. He got pissed off about that. He didn't like it at first. And then he loved it. Then he started putting it on the back of his robe and this and that. Bottom line is, let's talk about amateur boxing. Here in the Bay Area, of course, we have something called Fire in the Ring. Fireinthering.org is their website. But the bottom line is, Jimmy Ford does this, and he does it at the Cow Palace now. Of course, the Cow Palace is the place that I knocked out Paul Nave in the second round with a body shot back in the Golden Gloves. Paul Nave went on to beat Greg Haugen, and he won the WBF Welterweight Championship of the World. But I knocked him out with a body shot back in the amateur. So Fire in the Ring is happening. Of course, they got the new gym now at the Cow Palace in one of the little buildings next to the Cow Palace. So you got to go out there. If you're a boxing fan, this is good for the kids. I mean, the kids have no better place to go. And Jimmy Ford is a wonderful guy. I mean, he just says that whole crew they got out there, they're a good crew. They're really a good crew. They are. And if you can donate money to them, I implore you to do so. Of course, Victor Conti and I got together and we threw him about $500 a few years ago. But the bottom line is, they are a great organization. Jimmy Ford's a good guy, and you really want to get your listen. Amateur boxing to me was a tool. What do I use? I used it. I use amateur boxing. I use it to get away from the streets. I got away from the streets. I went to the gym when I was young in the boys' club, this and that. It takes you off the streets. It just does. And it gives you a better outlook on life. And then once I learned how to box, this and that, I got good at it. And once you get good at it, it gets addictive, this and that. Start kicking people's ass. Kicking people's ass is addictive. Getting your ass kicked is not. But kicking people's ass is addictive. It gets good to you. It gets good to you. So you sort of keep it up. And I had 52 amateur fights, won 38 of them, 4 Golden Glove titles. And I'm very, very proud of the fact that I started here in the Boys Club. And now the Boys Club doesn't have a boxing program here in San Francisco. We have fireinthering.org with Jimmy Ford. So I wish Jimmy Ford all the best. Of course, they are at the Cow Palace. We wish him the very best of luck. Check them out. You can go by there. I think they have 5 nights a week, 5 afternoons a night. Five afternoons a week, they're training out there at the Cow Palace. In a little building right next to the Cow Palace. It's called one of the smaller buildings. Straight up, Jimmy Ford deserves props, no doubt about that. And I want to thank Jose Correa and Anthony Sandoval for spending some time with me in the studio today. Of course, they were both kick-ass. And Jose and I go back to 1960s. Jose was trying to date Annette Crespo, I think. That's what I remember. Bottom line is, that was 50-something years ago. Until next time, my producer's been the impeccable one, Bailey Peck. Hitting the machine. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Thank you.